You shouldn't be mad at Mycroft anyway, not you. You're a cousin. Cousins are supposed to forgive everybody. Carlyle's voice grew light, distracted. That's the stereotype. Mycroft said at the trial it was Briar Casala who kept bringing up how this was society's fault for not doing more to help a kid who'd been through all that. Bridger paused to huff and puff as he tugged at a blanket wedged between shards of desk. That's how cousins are supposed to think. We all feel better telling ourselves Mycroft Canner was just a trauma victim, that a monster like that can only happen in the incredibly improbable circumstance of a Bosch house exploding and killing every member except an 8-year-old kid who has to recover alone from being blown almost limb from limb. Of course Mycroft Canner went nuts. If we just take better care of traumatized orphans from now on, this will never happen again. That way we don't have to admit that a human being actually chose to do... Tears seized Carlyle again, sapping his strength as he struggled with a fallen bookcase. But it was so premeditated. There's never been a crime so premeditated. Mycroft Canner spent years learning languages just to make it easier to deceive their victims. That's not lashing out at random, that's... Mycroft can't anymore. Can't what? Can't kill. The major says Mycroft lost it. Bridger took a chunk of dollhouse in his arms. The major can tell. The major said a skeptic can't be a killer. And they made Mycroft a servicer. And all the hive leaders know. Do you think they're all wrong, too? A deep breath. Mycroft Canner is very good at deceiving people. The major's killed people, too. In the war, lots and lots of people. Are you going to say the major's bad now, too? That's different. No, it's not. Bridger's wrath set Boo's blue fur bristling. The army men are people, too. Just because they're toys, you can't say killing them doesn't count. No, I didn't mean that. They're people, I respect that. But war is different. War is for something, at least in people's minds. Mycroft killed for art, for fun, killing for the sake of killing, evil for the sake of evil. A fast sob. I remember whenever a new member of the Bosch would disappear, people would start to place bets what the killer would do this time. Vivisection, immolation. People enjoyed it, thinking like Mycroft's goal was to make the world worse. That's evil. Yes? That caught Carlyle off guard. Yes, what? Yes, it's evil. But you said the world was getting better. People were thinking like that less. So, same for Mycroft. They were caught. They changed. They got better. The cousin gave a scornful snort. So, one day they're happily vivisecting Mercer Marty, and the next, boom, cured. Impossible. Bridger faced him across the dollhouse wreckage. Miracles are impossible. That's different. Why? It's... I give the gag gene credit for pausing to try to find a real answer. You create things, Bridger. You don't make people into different people. You should talk to Mycroft. You'll see how different they are. A shudder. I don't want to be in a room with Mycroft Canner. Call on Mycroft's tracker, dummy. Bridger was too young for his brow to really furrow in anger, but he did his best. It's better to try to find stuff out than to sit around and be wrong. Someone needs to drag you with a flashlight. What? When I was little, I was scared of the noises from the trash mine. I thought there was a monster in there. Eventually, I told the major, and the army men got a flashlight and made me look. I didn't want to, but they dragged me over, and it was just the robots there. No monster. Then I wasn't scared anymore. Someone needs to drag you with a flashlight and make you look at Mycroft Canner. Knock, knock, called Thisbe through the plastic sheeting. Are you kids playing nice? Bridger had a smile for Thisbe. Did you get rid of Occam? Yes, they're off filing paperwork. And you, Carlyle, have a lot of documentation to read. Why didn't you tell me that was Mycroft Canner? Carlyle asked flatly. Thisbe summoned her best false smile. Bridger, sweetheart, it's much too late for you to be up. Mamadol's made up a nice bed for you in my closet, all cuddly with lots of pillows, and you'll be safer there. I want to wait up for Mycroft. Absolutely not. It's much, much, much too late for you to be awake. But Mamadol says straight to bed. You don't want to make her sad, do you? No one could resist that. Okay. But only if you make Carlyle stop being wrong. Thisbe gave a little laugh. I'll try, I promise. Good. My brave defender gave Carlyle a last glare, then stomped off through the flowers to the much-needed pillow fort. Thisbe turned dark eyes on Carlyle. Come outside, now. The cousin folded one last T-shirt over meticulously to prolong the pause. Why didn't you tell me that was Mycroft Canner? Because you'd react like this. Come back outside. He followed haltingly, like a dog that does not really want to come home from play. You've had your Bosch adopt Mycroft Canner. You know what happened to the last Bosch that adopted Mycroft Canner? The witch's, apologies, master, the woman's tone grew richer as she basked in the night air. Mycroft's an amateur. Occam and Sniper are experts, trained. They have to be, or they wouldn't be trusted with the system. We're in no danger from Mycroft Canner. Carlyle winced, as though his stomach turned. Are you a Cannerite? She gave a little laugh. It's so juvenile, Cannerism, a philosophy concocted by a 17-year-old. It's sick, he almost spat. Sincere training tries to present it like a legitimate belief system, but I've had a couple of Cannerite parishioners. It wasn't a philosophy. They were just sick people reciting trivia about Mycroft Canner like some dark messiah. Why do you want that near you? Thisbe gazed at him, a long, indulgent pause. Follow me up to the bridge. In his distraction, Carlyle started up the stairway before thinking to ask, why? The speed of her ascent made Thisbe pant. Someone's here from Romanova. What? Eureka just called me. They've touched down. At midnight? This is Chile, reader, and the America's night still young. I told you there are protocols when someone recognizes Mycroft Canner. A new voice called down from above them, a woman's, but almost too deep to be a woman's. Age 31, born August 2nd, 2423. Brownish black hair. Many distinctive scars, including a round 2-centimeter section missing from right ear. Thisbe accelerated. That's no officer I know. The stranger leaned forward over the side of the bridge, the better to call down at the now rushing pair. Captured on March 26th, 2440, sentenced to lifetime service, March 28th, 2440, registered personal possessions, 5, 1 non-uniform hat, 1 pair of non-regulation shoes, 1 writing and computation tablet, 1 photograph of the members of their birth bash, and 1 paper copy of Homer's Iliad, with a bookmark made from a lock of Sen Mardi's hair and annotation by Apollo Mojave. Thisbe reached the bridgeway first. Who are you? Giulia Doria Pamphili. The stranger stepped into a shaft of streetlight, which revealed an elegantly tailored European suit, double-breasted, with champagne cording accenting its blue-black silk. Her hair was dark, thick, bound back in a bun which spiraled like a nautilus, and her grave face tempered by the creases of a perpetual smile. I'm Mycroft Canner's court-appointed censor. Chapter the 23rd. Pontifex Maxima. Julia, Carlyle gaped. Why are you here? Giulia Doria Pamphili paced toward Carlyle and Thisbe, her old-fashioned ankle boots clicking on the walkway. It's 5 in the morning by your sleep schedule, and your tracker registered a heartbeat as if you were being chased by rampant wildebeests. And then I got a ping about Mycroft Canner. You think I'm not going to check that you're all right? Thisbe stared at this European, the conclave pin on her breast, its little band of gold. The conclave head? Julia surveyed Thisbe down to the maze-like landscapes of her boots. You must be human, Thisbe Sanir. Her pronunciation was slow and luxurious, especially on the Humanist Hive title, as if she enjoyed the act of differentiating people. Do I have you to thank for the timely call? Julia offered a well-lotioned handshake. Thisbe accepted the hand. Nice to meet you, Is it July or Julia? Julia. It was a fair question. Even newspapers sometimes substitute the socially correct degendered Jules or July, but Roman nobility, as ancient as the Doria Pamphili line, who can boast princes, popes, and, thanks to forged medieval genealogies, consuls and senators, scoffs at the modern fashion which would strip the sex from Julia. In person, she exudes antiquity. Her tailored suit, her hair as black as baking chocolate, with the perfect ancient wave one sees on busts and caryatids. She wears it always bound back in coils, so one cannot guess how much of it there is. Such a busy vocateur has little time for strats or their insignia, so she wears none but the narrow Italian and Roman strat bracelets. The long sensair's scarf, which winds 3 times around her shoulders, is vibrant violet silk lined with equally violet velvet. And she wears only the most precisely tailored European suits, so every curve shows through. The Doria Pamphili Palace, with its stunning galleries of art treasures, was fully reconstructed after the Church War and belongs to the family still. But Julia gave up Rome for Romanova, where she accepted her post as conclave head, and with it her office in the Regia Pontificis, at the heart of the new forum. Her kin thought her a fool. "You're Mycroft, Sensair?" Thisbe asked. "Personally? Isn't that a bit cruel?" The European laughed. "Is my reputation really as bad as all that?" "Not bad," Thisbe corrected. "Just, from what I've heard, your specialty is one-time visits where you, dismember my parishioners?" Laughter sparkled in Julia's eyes. "How do they put it in that editorial, Carlyle? I slash my clients to the heart, bearing their hidden hypocrisies until they leave, what was it, a shattered wreck." Carlyle had been glaring stubbornly, but this answer at least matched his mood. "A shivering wreck." "Shivering? Yes, that's good. And then they go back to their regular sensei, who nurses them back to sanity over months of great epiphanies." Julia stretched her neck to pop her shoulders. "I know it sounds dramatic, but while my specialty is deep cutting sessions, I can do normal ones too. I took on Mycroft Canner because I didn't want to give the most difficult case I'd ever seen to someone too sensitive." She gave a little sigh. "And don't worry, I'm not stalking Cato Weeksbooth." Thisbe snorted. "Good." "Stalking Cato Weeksbooth?" Carlyle repeated. Julia's smile winced a small apology. "You know Cato's phobic of sensairs. We ran into one another once, and the poor thing fell down a flight of stairs trying to run away, broke an arm and a leg." "That wasn't in the file." Carlyle's brows narrowed. "Neither was the fact that Mycroft Canner frequents this bash. Did you know when you sent me?" Julia drew close enough to pick grass seed from Carlyle's fraying scarf. "I did know, and I'm sorry about that. I filed the paperwork to get permission to tell you, but it's still processing. There's enough red tape around Mycroft Canner to wrap up a renunciation column like a stick of peppermint. But what was it that threw you into such a panic an hour ago? Something to do with Mycroft?